Hello and welcome to episode 40A of UK Carcast, the Tom Lichman interview. If you listened to episode 40, you'll have heard a seriously abridged version of this interview, which I recorded at the Philly show in Allentown. Tom and I recorded an interview that was about 17 minutes-ish long, and Tom had so many interesting things to say, I felt it a shame to cut it down to the bare minimum that I could logistically fit into a regular episode, especially given I had so many other interviews to try and squeeze in as well. So I've saved the best for a special episode. Here is the full uncut interview as recorded with Tom on the Sunday of the Philly Allentown show. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. Still at the Philly show, and I am more pleased than you can possibly imagine to finally meet someone who came onto the podcast a while back with the now internationally renowned and television celebrity, the Cyclord, who's appearing in a TV show here in the US. Tom Lichman from Sidekick, who's got a stand here at Philly. Tom, welcome back to UK Carcast, and thank you for agreeing to talk to me here again.
Oh, thank you for having me on the podcast. I've always enjoyed talking with you.
It's great fun to actually meet you, because as listeners will know, I've most of my interviews are usually done over the phone or on Skype, so actually being able to speak to someone in person and see them as they talk is great for me, so it's great to be here. You're here with a stand promoting a lot of the Sidekick products, and you've got a heck of a lot of Suckadelic and Suck Packs out there, but that's not all you've got. You've got Smart Hustle out there, and you've got some interesting promos as well. This isn't the first Philly you've done, though, is it?
No, we've done quite a few now. This is actually a great show for us, because we're both raising awareness of our kind of odd trading card sets. We're a little bit non-traditional in that we're not based on TV or movie series. And the other half is I get to do research here, where I actually can go through all the dealers and see examples of amazing cards from the history of non-sport trading cards. And since we're doing a retro vintage style in our presentation, I'm able to go and find old card sets that Topps designed in the 50s, 60s, and they were the flowers of a very mature art of back design, doing things with two colors, that is kind of lost today. Everything is slick and computer generated, but the old guys did it with hand tape, hand cut screens, and there's some amazing gems of backs. And in the books that you can buy, you know, which show a lot of examples of the fronts of cards, they don't show the backs.
Now, before I hit the record on this, you were showing me some of the vintage cards that you've been picking up as part of your research, and some of them, there's literally just, it's black on white, but the way they've laid it out is so much impact. And when you get onto some of the colours and the overlays and the special cuts and even one card that has an advert so you can buy products, buy a skull, buy a replica human skull, which you're showing me again at the moment, and you can buy a replica, looks like the real thing, send only $1.25. I mean, this is on the famous Monsters series of cards. Yeah. This must be an absolute treasure trove for you, a show like this, because you can pick up so many vintage cards and get so much inspiration. But it must also be torture for you, because you get these cards and you think, I've got to work out how to do that now.
Right. There's a kind of a half, how did they do that? And the kind of curiosity, mystery of, oh, wow, how did they accomplish this? Like, we did a secret message decoder on the Suck Packs 2. And I was standing with Harris and a few other dealers, and I said, has anybody ever done a secret message decoder? And immediately they named six different series, like Tarzan and You Were There and a couple of other quiz show type. I was immediately led to several dealer tables. I was able to buy examples of each of these six different series. It's fantastic. It's like a Library of Congress of trading card history here.
Exactly. It's a cross between a museum and a museum gift shop, really. You can pick up all sorts of stuff. And you're no stranger to recreating vintage ways of doing things, because, of course, you've developed your own way of replicating the original wax packs. And they are, as I've mentioned in the past, when you came on last time, we were talking about this. I think your wax packs are probably the closest anybody's ever got to those originals. And it is very much a proprietary thing you've created, and you're very protective of it. Are there any... What sort of innovations are you looking forward to trying to replicate from now for future sets?
Well, for our most recent set, we did a lenticular puzzle. And one of the innovations we did was to come up with an actual die-cut, irregular-shaped card that forms the puzzle, rather than just square butts that form it. As far as new ideas coming out, that's what I'm here to research and find out. I've got a couple of ideas that I'm not ready to quite share yet, but they do involve things like artifact cards and the way to create a good artifact card. And I've gotten several wonderful examples here. And the people over at Rittenhouse have been really helpful. And I find that there's a lot of camaraderie amongst the small trading card publishers, a lot of interchange of information.
Yeah. Because, I mean, what helps one company helps all the companies. If there's innovation in a different area, then it brings new collectors into the hobby, brings new people, new interests in, and it's a great way of sharing that and getting people interested.
I find that we're adding the hobby here in the United States has been largely the young and the older collectors. The middle zone is kind of sparse, yet that's the kind of people we're trying to reach with our cards. We had a booth at the New York Comic Con, which is, again, trying to bring the message out to the masses that trading cards are still cool. And in the 20-something, 30-something age group, there's something there that is relevant and interesting and worth collecting.
Okay. Now, you've got, as I mentioned at the top of the recording, you've got a few sets out. You've got some of the few remaining Series 1 psychedelics. You haven't got many of those left, have you?
Well, Series 1 is long gone.
Oh, it's long gone. Sorry.
We've got Series 2 and Series 3. Series 3 just came out this week.
So. Oh, right. Okay. Sorry. I wasn't paying as much attention as I should have been to the pack design. I should have realized this. Sorry.
We have so many things on here now. You know, we've come out with Suck Pack Series, Art Hustle Series. We're doing some specialty series for a couple of other people. So it's easy to lose an edition in the mix.
Yeah. But, I mean, psychedelic was the one that really got you going as far as cards are concerned, and that was a sellout completely.
Yes. The Series 1 completely sold out very fast. Series 2 is almost done. He's the reason I got into the trading card, the whole trading card game. Originally, I had been collecting his works and knew of his stuff, and I really was very, very interested in his artwork. And when he was doing the Galaxy Star Wars sketch cards, I came to him with a proposal. I said, you know, you should make your own trading card set. He says, I've been thinking about doing that. And I said, well, I could make it happen. So that's how it all started.
And as anybody who remembers listening to the interview I did with Tom and the Psych Lord a few episodes back, you'll know what a success that was. And I have to say, I wish the Psych Lord every success in his current TV career. And it's really raising the profile. And, of course, if it's raising his profile, it's also raising the profile of your cards as well, because people are going to see him on TV and think, well, if he's done cards, let's go and have a look at that.
You know, we knew him when he was small, and now he's big.
But he's still talking to you, yeah?
Yeah. And, in fact, he was at our booth at the New York Comic Con. He made several appearances there to both promote his own artwork and help promote the cards that we did together.
And I know when you were at New York Comic Con, you were amazingly generous in sharing your space with other people. You had a few other artists there. You had Harris Tozer up there. You had all sorts of other people just sharing the space. What was the idea behind that? Was that just to give exposure to other people?
Both. Well, it was a combination of things. One, again, we're trying to raise awareness of trading cards. And so having a variety of artists to come to our booth and present their work, also all these artists had something to do with trading cards. Either they were in the Art Hustle set or the Suck Pack set, or Harris publishes the magazine and so forth. And with a show like the New York Comic Con, they had 105,000 people attend that show. It's an amazing amount of people. And so we were able to facilitate by having a booth and setting up half of it as a guest artist space. We had 18 different people come, and it was wonderful.
And it was a great opportunity for yourselves and for them to get in front of that huge crowd of people. I mean, the show is expanding massively, the New York show, and it's a great opportunity for them to see it.
We made up special sketch cards that had backs that we pre-printed for Sidekick and the Art Hustle, but the fronts were blank, and we gave them to all the artists to use as they wish. So often, many fans came up and asked them to do sketch cards on the spot that used our, you know, Sidekick motif sketch card blanks. It was very a lot of fun.
And I have to, a little personal note here, I have to offer thanks to Tom, because he and Chris Bradbury, who actually are responsible for getting me here, threw a little surprise for me and produced on the Sidekick card format a little promo with me on it, and there'll be a scanner of that on my website, and I'm particularly grateful to the guys for getting that sorted out. Was that particularly fun to do?
Well, it actually arose out of a couple things. One, you had said quite a while back, and I heard you say this, I can't remember if it was on the podcast or when, kind of in the talk about the podcast, but you said you'd always wanted to have a card. You always wanted to be on a card. And I think that's a dream all of us should be able to fulfill at some point. And the second part of it was that we were producing the SupPax 3 at the time, and we were about to print, and we didn't have enough cards to fill the full sheet. So I reached out to a couple of artists, including Harris, and I said, you know, we got some space here. And it's technically called a ride-along, meaning that it's empty space on the sheet. We can fill it with either promotional cards or prototype cards. I've done that a number of times. And so the idea came up, wow, we could do a special Paul Bynes card and include it on the sheet. So we were very happy to do it. I enjoyed being on your podcast. I think you're a tremendous booster for the whole hobby and industry. So it was a pleasure to be able to include that card on the sheet.
Well, I was touched that it happened, so thank you very much indeed. I have mentioned it already, and I'm going to return to it. It's something we talked about in your earlier interview. You're known for innovating and creating and doing your own take on a replication of the old packs, and the real old packs used to come with gum.
Yes, now with the psychedelic wonderful gum that everybody remembers, and it would get stale almost immediately as soon as the packs were created. Within months, that stuff would be hard and brittle, and everybody loved it. And when we started doing these historic retro style cards, the first question we always got was, is there gum? You're going to have gum? And so we did. For the first series, we actually went to Tops and we got gum and we included it in the packs. And everybody was happy, but then nobody ate the gum.
No.
And so they, what I realized quickly is everybody liked the concept of gum. They didn't want the gum. So for series two, we did fake gum. We did art gum. And okay. What we did was we took and replicated the size, color, and look and thickness of the old gum, but we silk screened it, and it's not edible. And so we have this fake gum in series two. And so everybody's happy, and we actually put bubblegum scent on it, so it actually smelled like gum.
Right.
And so we're still exploring how to fulfill that itch, to scratch that itch of gum without actually putting gum in the packs. And so for the Art Hustle 2 series, we did these little mini cards, so you get two of these gum-sized parallels of the profile cards. And we've also talked about a few other ideas of molding gum, maybe with some teeth marks in it, of resin.
Okay.
We're exploring a lot of ideas. We find that we want to put something that's gum-like in the packs. That's kind of essential, but we're always going to try to do something a little different.
Because I know it's something that collectors of vintage cards, especially when they find boxes, the big problem is, as you said, that gum went hard very quickly, and frequently it stuck to the cards, and trying to prise the gum away from the cards meant either tearing the card or leaving it on there, and it was a big problem for collectors. Whereas what you're developing now gives them still the sensation of the gum, but none of the risk of damaging the card. Unless, of course, the Psych Lord's been there with his BB gun.
Right. He's notorious for being a little bit rough on the cards. Yeah. In the Series 1, we had burnt cards, gunshot cards. He had actually done some art cards that went into the series, and he did them at the last moment, so they were actually slightly damp, the paints he was working with. So I think there were a few that got stuck
I got one. He put some pink paint spatter on some stuff. It hadn't quite dried, and if you were very careful, you could prise them apart. But then you had ink on both sides of two cards, which was fantastic.
Well, it all goes with his motif of suck. You know, these cards suck.
Exactly. So, what have you got? Is there anything you can talk about that you've got coming up, or are you really promoting what you've got at the moment and then looking ahead to what you can do?
Well, both. I mean, our two strongest lines right now are the Art Hustle and Suck Packs. So we've got Suck Packs 4 coming out next year, which will be Toy Lords of Chinatown. And the Art Hustle 3, the artists have a deadline of November for providing us the artwork. So we're going to be doing all of the pre-press work November, December, and then producing in January, February. So Art Hustle 3, which will have 100 artists, is coming up in the spring also. So that's our main engine. In the meantime, we're doing some fun little, we did an inside card series that we're not sharing outside the family, but it's a lot of fun. I think you've seen them.
I've seen those, yeah.
And we're also doing some for-hire jobs, which is kind of cool, too. Mm. Some very special short-run items. So, and when I can, I'll share them on our blog. And I'll also send you a copy.
Okay, so you're expanding into actually producing for other people as well. So you're doing bespoke service, basically, for smaller sets.
Correct. Because we're the only people who do wax and wax wrappers, so there's a little bit of work actually providing wax wrap sets for specific use for other purposes. A lot of it's promotional.
Mm. Okay, Tom, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you in person this time. Actually get to meet you this time. If people want to get more information about the Sidekick range, the website's probably going to be the best bet. What's the address for that?
Sidekicklab.com.
Okay, and there is already a link, I know, to Sidekick on the website, but I'll make sure that there's a new one with this episode number next to it. Tom, thank you.
Thank you.
That was Tom Lichtman of Sidekick, and my thanks to him for very generously giving up so much of his time on Sunday to talk to me for the podcast. I've got a link to Sidekick on the website, which is carcast.co.uk. The interview was recorded using an iPod Touch and a Thumbtack microphone. UK Carcast is released under a Creative Commons license. For more information about the Creative Commons license, please visit our website, which is carcast.co.uk. Thank you for listening, and I'll speak to you next time.